Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Jim Garrity is on the National Review cruise. So Charlie Cook is one of the folks actually doing his job this week.
I am.
And working at National Review headquarters up in New York. I'm sure the folks on the cruise are working very hard in their own way. Good news, bad news, crazy news, as always, with the martinis, Charlie. But we're going to start with the bad news, and that was the news that really broke on Friday afternoon, and it's just gotten weirder ever since. The sudden resignation of U.S. General turned CIA Director David Petraeus, the hero of the Iraq surge, the guy who was sent in an emergency pinch to Afghanistan, then brought back to run the CIA when Leon Panetta went over to the Pentagon. He admitted to the president, admitted to his subordinates at the CIA, and ultimately to the entire country, that he had an extramarital affair. It completely violates his ethical and moral standards, and therefore it is not fitting for him to continue at his current job. It did not take long to figure out that Paula Broadwell, his biographer, was the woman he was having the affair with, and now it turns out that she was worried that he might have affections for another person. It's always tough for the person who's cheating on their husband to worry about whether or not the person they're cheating with might be cheating with someone else. So she basically went out and threatened this other person, who's now been identified as Jill Kelly, anonymously, "Stay away from my man." All of this stuff, of course, unfolds a day or two after the election. It comes right before the much-anticipated Benghazi hearing. So, Charlie, it's negative on a couple of fronts. First of all, it destroys a career of one of the most respected men in Washington and beyond. And secondly, it means we're going to have to wait even longer for what should be relatively straightforward answers on what happened on 9/11.
Yeah, it's a tragedy, really, for General Petraeus, who is a great hero. I mean, the press has very much enjoyed writing amusing headlines and making jokes, and you can understand why, but it really is a horrible story. What I really can't work out is why somebody who has resigned from being the director of the CIA, as Petraeus quite correctly did, can't testify on the Benghazi case. And here's how I see that. Let's just presume for a moment that there is nothing untoward about that at all, and that the Obama administration is not taking advantage of this in order to cover something up or distract from the issue. The only way that the public is going to accept that there is nothing untoward is if General Petraeus goes and testifies. Really, if I were the Obama administration, if I were General Petraeus, I would be saying to Congress, look, give me a week, and then I'm going to come and testify, and it will shut that up forever, because at the moment, it really does look as though the two things have been conflated.
Now you have Hillary Clinton saying that, well, you know, these hearings just aren't going to fit well with my schedule. So once again, just as in the weeks following the deadly attack on the consulate, it looks like the administration has something to hide. Maybe they do, but even if they don't, it certainly just looks like they do, and just getting everything that should be out there for public consumption out there should be their priority at this point. There's no political considerations, really, at this point, unless there's some egregious thing that we don't know about. So the election's over. That's not going to be hanging over them. So the fact that this is once again playing out in a very bizarre way is not good for transparency, and it's not good for the sake of security, whether in Libya or around other places in the world. So hopefully we'll get some answers in the next few days, but it looks like those are going to be kicked down the road even further. On to martini number two now, which is actually the crazy one. This goes back to the election. And Charlie, there's a lot of people who were obviously wrong on their predictions. Jim and I very hesitantly predicted a very narrow Mitt Romney win in the Electoral College. We're obviously wrong. We said at the time we were not confident in that prediction. Doesn't change the fact that we guessed wrong. But there are many other people out there who are much more certain about their predictions. People had Mitt Romney well over the 300 electoral vote mark. Dick Morris comes to mind immediately, projecting a landslide. Others were very confident as well. That's okay. I mean, people can be wrong. They can read the polls wrong. A lot of people thought that there might be a Romney surge late. It just didn't happen. But what is very bizarre, and I think needs to be called out, is these people who were so wrong are all of a sudden so certain as to why they were wrong. Now, Morris now says it's going to be almost impossible for Republicans to ever win an election just a couple days after he said it would be a Romney landslide. Other people, Michael Barone, who's very well respected, also picked a big Romney win, says, well, negativity and minorities, that's the reason why the Republicans couldn't compete this time. So everybody's got an answer, but it just seems to be a little too neat and just happens to fit in the length of an opinion column.
Well, I think that's right. I got it wrong as well. I didn't publicize my prediction. I always had Obama winning, but I'll be honest with you, I couldn't imagine him losing Florida and Virginia. Now, having looked at what happened, there are a lot of competing explanations as to why it was that he lost. Some people have said we're ideologically doomed. I have a little sympathy for that, myself coming from a country which is. Some people have said it was a turnout problem, it's a minority problem, it's a messaging problem. Or just that Obama is an inspirational candidate in the way Reagan was, and also he gets people out. Let me tell you what particularly amuses me about the punditry's reaction. It's the left. The right, I think, is understandably scrabbling around trying to work out what happened. You're going to have a lot of smoke and not too much fire for the moment. But the left is pretending to be concerned about the Republican Party. They say, well, gosh, if the Republicans don't do this and this and this, then unfortunately they're going to be consigned to the dustbin of history. I think, you know, most of that is actually either gloating or it's an attack on Republicans masquerading as advice. They said the Republican Party only attracts white people. Isn't that a shame? You know, dig the knife in, dig the knife in. So really, what's happening at the moment is less an attempt to get to the bottom of this seriously, and it's perhaps more jostling for position from both sides.
Charlie, we move over to martini number three now, which the good martini is usually first. Today we've saved it for last so we could get through the sordid details of the Petraeus situation and some of the more humorous aspects of the punditry's reaction to last Tuesday's elections. Today is a federal holiday. Officially, Sunday was Veterans Day here in the United States, but it's being observed by the federal government today and in many areas around the country. Our two countries, where you come from, of course, the UK, we got off to a little bit of a rocky start at the beginning of the United States in the first in the first two wars. But I think for those who now live in these countries, we have seen an extraordinary partnership, and I think both of our countries probably have the same sort of appreciation for our veterans all the way back to the founding of the country, but particularly those who we now look back with great reverence to World War II, Korea, Vietnam, up through the Gulf War, and now the present amazing generation who have served in Iraq and Afghanistan and other places in the war on terror. I know there's been a phenomenal partnership between our two countries over two world wars and much more than that, and it's just a great day to pause and honor those who have given so much for our freedoms.
It is. It's a good thing that it's international as well. You know, you see Veterans Day is called Remembrance Day in England and also in Canada and Australia and New Zealand. And it's easy to forget that we live such comfortable lives and we argue over politics, which very often matters, but sometimes perhaps we get a little into it. You know, my grandfather landed at Anzio and he saw unspeakable horror and he never spoke about it, but he also... He never complained. He just got on with his life. He got married. He had a child. It's my mother. And, you know, we've never had to see anything like that. And it's very important to remember this. Just a quick story on this. There's a British newscaster called John Snow. He's Channel 4's anchor, and it's sort of left of center. And that's left of center in Britain. So, and he's refused to wear a poppy. And to people who don't know, the poppy is the symbol of Remembrance Day in Britain and in Australia, Canada, New Zealand, because after the First World War, that was the first thing to grow back at the Somme. And he said, you know, I don't want to wear this because this poppy fascism is telling me what to do. Well, no, you wear the poppy to remember people who fought against fascism so that you can be the anchor of Channel 4 News and say whatever you like. You know, I hope that Jon Snow's view stays in the minority, because to remember what these people did for us and the lives we now live, we owe to them is fundamentally important.
Well, it's great to see such an incredible reverence for our nation's veterans in both of our native countries. Charlie, thank you so much for sharing that aspect of it, and great to be with you as always.
Great, thank you.
Charlie Cook of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Tuesday for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch. And thanks once again to all who are and who have worn the uniform of the United States of America.